Peace, family, and welcome to the Message to the Black Fam show. This should be a pretty interesting show we have for you tonight. The topic is going to be how Black men can regain our respect. And I felt it necessary to do this show for more than one reason, really. And it's not the kind of show I would normally do. I normally do not like speaking negatively or saying anything negative about Black men. I think that there's enough of that going on. I'm in no way an advocate for gender war or anything like that. I think that, you know, we should be more focused on fighting the enemy and not each other. But there is definitely a problem between men and women right now in our community. And a lot of times we want to run to our enemy to solve the problem. When really, if it's a family problem, you should keep it within your family and vent in the privacy within your family. You shouldn't be running to Dr. Phil to solve your problem. So I figured I've done two shows on women. So it's time to do one on men. And I originally got the idea for the show really two reasons. The first was I had dialed into the War on the Horizon show, which airs Monday nights at 7. If you have not watched that show, you definitely should. That's one of my favorite shows on War on the Horizon. But I was talking to Irritated Genie, and he had asked me, with the exception of my husband, what was my respect level for Black men? And I think my answer was something like, it's a 3, probably, on a good day. And the reason why I say that is because there's a definite difference between love and respect. You know, Black women, we love our men, you know, with all of our heart, all of our soul. Don't believe the hype, contrary to what they try to put out there in the media. The majority of us still prefer to be with our Black men, are still holding out for Black men, you know, even though we're trying to be, people are trying to push us in another direction. We know that nobody is more superior than the Black man. I mean, his you know, he's the most handsome man on the planet. His charm, his charisma, his cockiness, his ego, his swag. I mean, it just gets no better. Most Black men, Black women really, really love Black men. But the problem is, with all that natural ability and the potential that we see in you, that potential is not kinetic at all. We love you for that potential, but when we look at the reality of what's going on with the masses of Black men, and there's always exceptions, I'm being very general today, it's a problem. So I had to say that my respect level was probably at around a 3. And then on top of that, I'm online a lot, and there's a forum that I frequent that just has some of the most misogynistic, ignorant, ridiculous men, Black men that I've ever seen in my life. And every topic seems to be how Black women are horrible. We've abandoned our race. We're working against Black men. And oh, it's so terrible. How dare Black women have us in this condition? And I've been reading that for a little while. And after, you know, a couple months, it just started getting tiring and frustrating reading that, because it shows a total lack of manhood to not take any responsibility for where we are right now as a people. So instead of going back and forth with these, I guess you can call them brothers, I decided maybe I'll take this somewhere where the audience is a little more balanced and a little more intelligent, and maybe some good can come of it. Now, personally, my number one gripe with Black men is that they refuse to lead. They refuse to get in their role and lead. And if they do lead, they're leading us in the wrong direction completely. A lot of blame is put on Black women. You know, they'll look at single parents and say, oh, look at her. That's so terrible. She's not doing a good job with her children. But we're not made to be single parents. You're expecting us to do something that we were not made to do. You know, though, just everything in society, Black women don't do this, we don't do that. But where's the man? We need to be able to look for our men to have and take care of masculine responsibilities. That would be protection, that would be providing. And I know we have to, you know, tone that down a little bit. I'm not talking about extravagant things and catering to every whim, but just basic survival. You should be able to provide a home for your woman, regardless of how modest it is. Raising children, you know, being there to love your woman, to respect your woman, protect your woman. All those are things that really should be a birthright. It should definitely be a birthright for every Black woman to be able to have a man that she can expect those things from. And when Black men don't live up to their responsibility, they're really denying us our rights. And it's amazing because some men will get so upset over reparations because they feel it's their right to have reparations. And it is. But then, just like you want reparations, we want a man. That's our right too. So you can't demand your rights and all the while you're not giving us our rights. One problem I think with Black men that I've noticed, it's a lot of hypocrisy. It really is a lot of hypocrisy. With all of their critiques of us, a lot of it goes back to them. Because as I said, and I'm going to keep on going back to the point that most Black women want Black men. And that affects how we behave because it's a war and a battle to try to get those Black men. So sometimes we'll do things even if it's not the best thing to do, even if it's not in our best interest to have that Black man. Black men need to stop treating all women like we're whores, like we have no value. Now, of course, this is not every Black man. You know, there are beautiful Black men out there. You know, my husband, Baba Baruti, Irritated Genie, King Samir, Louis Ali, Brother DJ, Brother Kemet. There's plenty of exceptions to the rules, but I'm talking about the masses, the everyday brother. I would say it was about a month ago, I decided to walk down the street to the store. Just wanted to get out of the house. So I walked down the street. And I always dress pretty modestly. I mean, I'm not going out with the intention to show off any goodies or anything like that. I try to be presentable. Of course, I don't go out looking like a bum. But all my clothes are loose-fitting, long, what have you. So I'm walking down the street, and this brother sees me. And I don't know if it's because I was walking or the wind blew. Some kind of way, he saw a glimmer of something that he thought was attractive. So his first response to me was, "Hey, so-and-so," and I'm not going to even say what he said. It was basically a name that he gave me in reference to whatever he thought was attractive that he thought he saw. And I was kind of shocked because that generally doesn't happen to me. So I kind of stopped and I looked around to see who he was talking about. And I was the only one there. So I was like, wow. I kept walking down the street. And I guess he was so shocked that I didn't take it as a compliment or smile or drop it like it's hot on the side of the road or whatever. So he felt the need to say it again. "Hey, so-and-so." And I was just like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I have a wedding ring on. I'm dressed very modestly. There's nothing else that I can do to show that I'm a woman trying to do better and trying to get respect. But still, I'm basically being approached like a prostitute. And it was a shock to him that that didn't make my day. He's like, you know, what's wrong with you? Because men today really aren't even chivalrous to know the difference between an insult and a compliment. If I was looking for that kind of attention, I'd go out in some Daisy Dukes. I'm not going to go out fully dressed if that's what I'm looking for. But that's become commonplace. And a lot of times from the stories I've heard, there's some men, usually the younger men, because they have absolutely no idea how to talk to women anymore. But when they do that kind of thing and address you like you're some kind of whore, if you show any displeasure that you don't like it, it can actually become very confrontational. They might cuss you out. They might put their hands on you. No telling what to do. So it becomes a very dangerous situation depending on how you handle yourself. All because you want to be respected. It's almost like we don't have a right to be respected. But then if you go for that kind of thing, then you're a hoe. Makes no sense. And a lot of times I think brothers wonder, you know, if they're raising a daughter or they have a sister or a cousin or something and they raise them one way. And as they grow older, they start to go in the opposite direction. They wonder why. A lot of times it's because they looked at your example. I'll never forget, I was at home with my brothers, and they're much older than me, almost a decade older than me. And so they would watch me a lot, and they would always make sure that I sat with my legs crossed, and I was very ladylike, and, you know, there were certain behaviors that were expected of me. Yet and still, we were home one day, and we used to watch, like, Yo MTV Raps or Video Soul or whatever, and music would come on and we'd get up and dance in front of the TV being silly. Wasn't no big thing. So one day we're sitting there and I forget what song was up originally. Something came on. So I'm up dancing, whatever, doing my thing. And then Rump Shaker comes on. So I'm not paying any attention. Song changed. I'm still dancing. And then all of a sudden this verse comes on with this girl in a bikini. And all I hear is, "Hey girl, sit down." I'm like, what in the world? Now, my brother wasn't telling me sit down because he didn't like the way I was dressing, or I'm sorry, dancing. He was telling me to sit down because it had just got to the point where the girl with the bikini, and everybody that grew up in the 90s knows exactly what I'm talking about. the girl in the bikini was about to turn around and break it down, and he didn't want to miss that part. So he was hollering at me like, yo, get out the way. So it was just so hypocritical to me, because they're trying to breed me to be such a lady and, you know, don't wear that kind of clothing and sit this way and don't say this, don't say that. But in my mind, in my young mind, you just erased all that, because what you just showed me was no matter what you're preaching to me, the woman that's going to get the attention is the one that's naked, because you're hollering at me to move out of the way so you can see this naked woman shaking her butt on TV. So we have to be careful how we address women, really, and that your words and your actions line up. Because it's not always what you say. We're looking at what you do, and we're very observant, and we can see the hypocrisy. There was another story, and it's not a funny story at all. It's actually pretty sad, but the way it was delivered to me when I heard this story, the facial expressions and just the tone of voice, it was actually hilarious the way it was delivered to me, but it's really a sad story. There was a Muslim couple, and they were riding down the street just enjoying their day. And the woman was dressed beautifully. She had on her uniform, nice and pressed, had on her headpiece, just glowing, looking beautiful. So they're riding down the street, and there's a red light. So they stop, and they happen to be by a bus stop. And there's two women at the bus stop who are dressed pretty immodestly. Now, Muslims generally are trained, if you see something that may attract you or, you know, whatever, you don't stare at the opposite sex. You lower your gaze. But he couldn't do that this day. So he's sitting there staring these women up and down like his wife is not even in the car. The wife sees him doing this and waits a couple seconds. When the light turns turns green and they start to move, she takes off her headpiece, rips it off, and throws it out the window and says, if that's the kind of woman you want, that's the kind of woman I'm going to be. Boom. And from what I've heard, she doesn't necessarily dress immodestly, but she's never worn a headpiece again, never covered her head, really doesn't even look like a Muslim. So we have to remember, brothers, that you have a lot of power, a lot of power. And if you would clean yourself up a little bit, you could reverse a lot of what you see in the community. And I know it's not in your nature necessarily to do that. I completely understand that, because a man's nature is to be attracted to a naked woman. And honestly, I'm kind of glad that you guys are still attracted to a naked woman, because some men aren't. So that's actually a step in the right direction. But if you would pay attention to the women who are trying to be righteous and trying to cover up and be better, and not pay attention to the women who are running around half naked and being sexually irresponsible, then those immodest women would have to raise their standards, because like I said, they still want black men, and they're going to follow whatever they think that you want. So I think that that's very important. I think that that's something that we can do. Like I said, I know that that may not be in your nature, but what I also know is that we need to grow up. You know, our community is in shambles. The condition of black women is in shambles. The condition of black men is in shambles. We need to grow up. We need to have some discipline, and we need to do whatever we need to do. Black men have really put us in a position to where we have to compete with whores for their attention. And that also makes us lose a lot of respect for them. Because if you have a righteous woman, why would you do your best to try to make her be less than what she should be? Why wouldn't you want her to be the best? Why are you trying to pimp out your women? And like I said, we know what the deal is, no doubt. We know where this came from. We know that it's from white people. We know that it's from slavery. But even with all that, we know better now, so we can do better. A lot of times, black men will joke about women wearing green contacts and blonde weaves and all that. And yeah, it looks ridiculous. It looks absolutely ridiculous to see somebody the color of a Hershey's candy bar wearing some blue contacts. Makes absolutely no sense. Understood. However, why are they trying to do that? They're not doing it for their own health. Why are they doing that? Because that is the standard that you set for us. You've let us know, the masses have let us know for a long time that the ideal woman is white or as close to white as possible. 100%. So, yeah, we look ridiculous trying to live up to that standard, but that's still the standard you set. We're still trying to get your attention. We can't make ourselves white, but we can put a perm in our head so our hair can blow in the wind. We can get a weave. We can get some contacts. We can try to bleach our skin. All of those things that we do that are so disruptive to us completely. So that's something that could definitely change for Black men. And I think that it would do a lot of good. When we're in a position to compete with whores for their attention, I mean, we do a lot just to get your attention, just to try to get a little piece of your attention from them. I mean, basically, you see a sister walking around dressed in immodest clothing. She's saying, hey, Black man, I'm here. Look at me. I'm here. Love me. Want me. Desire me. Because a lot of times, we're not wanted. We're not desired. So you can't really joke about us and say, oh, look at her. What a shame. Look at what she's doing. When she's doing it to appease you. The problem is, I guess, like I said, Black women see Black men as the highest thing on earth, whether you're living up to that or not. Still, we see the potential. We know as far as physically, as far as mentally, if the playing fields were equal, all things equal, nobody could touch you. You know, if it wasn't for the system of racism, white supremacy, you're the most creative, the most intelligent. It's been proven over and over again. That's why the system of racism, white supremacy even has to exist. So we have these high opinions of you, even if they are not as high as they used to be, they're still pretty high. But the problem is that you don't see us the same. So it's kind of hard to respect somebody that you love so much and you care about so much, and they don't respect you. It doesn't work that way. Like I said, if you're going to complain about Black women and, you know, we're so messed up and, you know, we're not taking care of our families, you know, and nowadays it used to be that when I was growing up, Black women were looked at as the best mothers possible. You always looked at white people like, okay, well, they don't love their children. They don't care about their children. So whatever. So if you saw a white parent messing up, it was just like no big deal. That was what was expected. But a Black woman was expected to be just the best, most loving person in the world. Of course, crack came along and messed that up quite a bit. But what men don't realize now, another difference is that Black women are made to receive. So when you see a Black woman who is cussing her child out, talking crazy, smacking them in public, calling them the N-word, you know, you're just like your daddy, all that kind of ridiculous stuff that we do, we haven't been receiving. We've received no love. We've received no support from you. And sometimes we're hard to love. I'll be the first to admit that. But if you have a well, and you're constantly giving water from that well to everybody else, and that well never gets a chance to be refilled, sooner or later, it's going to dry up. It's going to run out. And that's what's happening with a lot of women trying to raise these children. They just don't have anything else to give because they've been hurt and had to go through so many things in their life. And we're always trained to hear how hard it is to be a Black man, but it's hard to be a Black woman too. And a lot of the hardship that comes from being a Black woman is directly or indirectly related to Black men not doing their job. So we have to work on it, definitely. When I say that the ideal is basically a whore, really I'm talking about white women. I mean, really a whore in general, definitely just the whole look, you know, we see the rap videos and all this kind of stuff. So any kind of whore will do, but the best whore, the most wanted whore, I'd have to say, would be the white woman. Like I said, that's why we dye our hair. That's why we do all of that crazy stuff. But it's really will enrage you. It's really ridiculous when you know deep down that you're better. No matter how low your self-esteem is as a woman, no matter how many of your African characteristics you wish you could change because you don't see them as beautiful, deep down, you still know that you're better than a white woman. At least I did. I don't know. You know, we're shaped better. We have prettier faces. We have prettier skin. We don't age. We know nobody can love a black man like a black woman. Nobody can take care of you like a black woman. We know that. So it really enrages us to see us being passed over for somebody who is less than us, who has no right to you, while we're left alone. It's almost like being spit on. And you don't know the kind of effect that that has on a person. Another thing I would suggest to black men is stop your sons from teasing little girls so much. A lot of times you can, you know, you can hang out with your boys, you can tease each other, talk about your mama, all that kind of stuff. It really doesn't affect you because you're men. You can handle that. It goes in one ear, out the other, whatever. But women really internalize a lot of negative things that are said about them, especially if it comes to appearance. And a lot of girls grow up feeling very ugly, even when they're beautiful. You know, they might be, you know, 20, 30 years old and they're beautiful, but they'll never know that or recognize that because they feel so ugly because they've been teased growing up. You know, a lot of times it may have to do with complexion. You may have just the prettiest little chocolate girl you've ever seen in your life, prettier than anybody else in the class, but she believes she's black and ugly because that's what the boys have been telling her, teasing her whole life. So then she grows up and you wonder why she may not want a black man, or if she does get a black man, she might date a very light-skinned black man. She's trying to breed out what she sees as a negative characteristic. And that's horrible because some of the most beautiful women in the world think that they're ugly and think that they're nothing. And when you think that you're nothing, then you're willing to go even further into deviant behavior to try to get somebody because you feel like you have to. Feeling attractive and pretty is something that's very, very important to women. So we have to watch that. You can't go teasing, especially when they're children. Don't go teasing them, especially about their hair, their complexion, anything like that. Because like I said, then they grow up and you want to tease them when they try to change those characteristics and they look ridiculous. It's really sad. the forum I was telling you about that actually gave me the idea to do this show was pretty crazy. They said a lot of negative things about black women. But the one thing that got me, I mean, really, really got me a couple weeks ago, I guess. They said that white women were better than black women because they have better attitudes. And I was just outdone. I was completely outdone. You must be kidding. You must be kidding. Sometimes black men need to think about what they're saying to black women, really. Because you say black women's attitudes are so horrible. And then white women's attitudes are so much better than ours. But then I think back and remember that this white woman with this chipper, beautiful attitude would gather up her children and her family and go on a picnic. And she'd be smiling. And then she'd be smiling as she watched you get hoisted up and hung from a tree. She'd still be smiling. She'd be smiling when they cut off your toes and your fingers and your penis and handed them out as souvenirs. That white woman with the great attitude, she'd still be smiling. When they burned you, she'd still be smiling. When they took a picture for a postcard so that they could remember the event, she'd still be smiling with her wonderful attitude. When they barbecued you and ate your flesh, that beast would still be smiling. How dare any black man talk to me or any other black woman about how great white women's attitudes are? They haven't been through what we've been through. And if they did, it probably wouldn't faze them because they don't have normal human emotions. Their attitude is so great that they watched you get hung, get cut up, get barbecued, and they smiled the whole way. So why should they have an attitude now? If that doesn't bother them, what would? You cannot expect black women to have just this wonderful chipper attitude all the time when they've been destroyed and they've had to watch you be victimized and destroyed right along with them to the point where you won't even defend us now. You won't even defend yourself. It's ridiculous. So if you see Betsy Sue or whatever, Gertrude, going down the street with a happy smile, remember, she was smiling when she lynched you. Is that really the attitude that you prefer? Or would you prefer the one who went through all of this with you, suffered with you, and struggled with you? The one that looked like you and gave birth to you? Things like this are why black men have lost the respect of a lot of black women. I remember I was at Jeannie's house, actually right after I left Jeannie's house. I got to visit them last week, and I got to see Sister Nefertari, which is an absolutely beautiful sister. If you've ever seen the dark skin versus light skin DVD she has, she's even more beautiful in person, beautiful spirit. Just wonderful. I got to meet Jeannie for the first time. He's like 8 feet tall. Usually I don't have to look up to people. I'm not super tall, but usually I don't have to look up to anybody. And I was like, wow, he's like a giant. But the star of the show was their little baby. She's just the cutest little thing. She's definitely going to be ready for her own talk show, because if something's on her mind, she will let you know. She is already plotting and planning. She's only, you know, still a baby. I don't know what she's talking about, but I can tell she's plotting and planning already. And we had a great time. Went to the Frederick Douglass house. Not quite sure how I feel about that after last night's show on War on Horizon, but I got to go to Frederick Douglass's house. That was cool. And then we traveled up to Baltimore to the Great Blacks and Wax Museum. And it was really nice. I liked it, definitely. But as I was going through the museum, I came to a lynching exhibit. And it was pretty graphic. So I'm looking at a wax figurine of a woman who was hanged, and they had cut open her stomach, and her baby was actually popping out of her stomach. So I'm sitting there looking at this exhibit, and her husband had been lynched right next to her, too. And I see this brother come in with the other white meat. And we've all seen this before. Matter of fact, they'll bring a straight up cracker to a African-centered event and expect you to accept it. So I really shouldn't have been surprised, but I guess it's just where I was in the middle of a lynching exhibit in the Great Blacks and Wax Museum. I was not expecting to see some brother walk in with an Asian chick on his arm. As if she can relate. As if she even cares. She doesn't feel your pain. You're bringing her to this museum like she cares about you one way or the other. What a smack in the face that is. Are you kidding me? We're sitting here looking at replicas of our ancestors getting lynched, and you're going to come and bring in one of them, who basically right now are functioning as one of our oppressors anyway. We're putting them through college, getting, making them rich, spending our money foolishly with them while being disrespected and everything else. And you're going to bring her to a lynching exhibit in front of me? Are you kidding? And when I saw this, you know, it really made me think back, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 months now, I'd assume it's been, back to the Troy Davis situation. And, you know, I thought from the beginning, I thought that they would go on and murder him. But at some point, they started I don't know, it gained momentum. And I did what I never do. I don't believe in joining up with white people under any circumstances. But it started looking like he had a chance. And so I did what I never do. I actually hooked up with Amnesty International, and I was going around getting people to sign petitions, and I didn't bother with white people at all. I was just walking around hitting all the black people. And, you know, there was even some black men who would not sign that petition. They just didn't care. But every black woman I came to, it didn't matter if they were a teenager or if they were an old woman. Every black woman signed that petition because that's the most that they could do to help that brother out. Even when black men wouldn't sign the petition. It was one time I went to, there weren't really a couple, but it was a man trying to holler at a woman. The man wouldn't sign the petition, but the woman he was trying to holler to did without question. We're always there with you, and we're always trying to struggle to help you out all the time. And I just remember the week of his execution, it was real long. You know, they didn't hurry up with it. They really dragged it out for, it seemed like just maximum emotional impact. And they delayed it a few times. And then the day of the execution, I tried to stay up. You know, I was feeling kind of crazy all day. I had butterflies in my stomach thinking, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it this time. There's too much attention. They're not going to do it. But I usually go to bed pretty early, around, I don't know, 9, 10 o'clock top. Sometimes I wake up if I have insomnia, but I always go to bed really early. And so I told my husband, you know, let me know what happens. Just wake me up and let me know. So I'm asleep, and I get woke up in the middle of the night hearing that he got murdered, basically. And I can't describe the feeling of that. And I know a lot of black women who actually got involved and cared about it felt the same way. It was almost like somebody stabbed you in the chest, or maybe even simultaneously just hit you in the stomach real hard and just knocked the wind out of you where you couldn't breathe. It was just the craziest feeling, and it was like you got just the slightest inkling of what it would feel like to witness the lynching. I say the slightest inkling because I didn't know him. Never talked to him. I didn't know nothing about him. I don't know if he was guilty or innocent. I don't know. I didn't see the execution. So I can't imagine if this was somebody that you knew and loved and grew up around and you had to see him lynched and smell the flesh burning. I can't even imagine. But I got the merest inkling of the discomfort and the pain that comes along with seeing something like that happen to your man and being completely helpless to do anything about it. And I was really happy that my husband was out here doing something else, because I'm not a punk and I don't like to let people see me emotional or vulnerable or anything like that. But I actually cried that night for this man that I don't even know. I know nothing about. And just thinking about the devastation that I felt that night for this black man, when even other black men didn't even really feel anything, a lot of them. And to be standing in this lynching museum with this brother, with this Asian, blew my mind. Because he robbed somebody of their birthright to have a black man to grow old with, to love and care for some Ed Fu Young eating shit. Are you kidding me? It's almost like, imagine all the shoe stores near your house are closed, but you have these new Jordans. They're the best, tightest. Everybody wants these Jordans. You pay for them, they're yours. And then you go out, and somebody steals your new Jordans and walk around in them all in your face, parade around. Ain't nothing you can do, because if you beat them up and take your Jordans back, you're going to jail. Nothing you can do about it. So you just got to watch this person just walking around in front of your face, parading in front of your face. They got your shoes that you paid for. They were rightfully yours. Same thing on a whole nother level when a black woman sees a black man with somebody who is not of their race. You're too good for that. You lower yourself so much by doing that kind of foolishness. And now, when Black women do it a little bit, which I in no way agree with, but people want to get mad. Some of the same people who have done that to us and caused us that kind of pain for years. You got to be kidding. I remember over the winter, I believe, there was a caller to War on the Horizon. And she really touched me. She was talking about female genital mutilation or female circumcision in Africa. And she was saying, although they have to go through this practice that I don't think any of us would want to go through or choose to go through ever, ever, ever in life, it is, yeah, wouldn't even want to think about it. But they had men. They had men. So they go through this practice one time, but they have this community, they have stability, they have men. Now you look at us. What would we sacrifice to have that man? And she said, honestly, if she had to go through that practice for the promise of having a Black man with her for the rest of her life, she would do it. And it was posted on YouTube, and I read some real ignorant comments on YouTube from brothers talking about she's just being dramatic and she's just seeking attention and all this other stuff. But you really don't know. You really don't know. If you have to choose between being circumcised and having a man, a companion, a steady relationship, or keeping your body intact and being lonely for the rest of your life, turning into a lesbian, or sleeping with your enemy, what would you choose? I think a lot of men would be surprised with the answer of women. I think you might be surprised by some of the answers because some people would even sacrifice that just to have you because we love you. We've always loved you. We just feel like that love is not necessarily returned. The last thing I'm going to say and focus on, because I know other people probably have things to say, and I hope I don't get beat up tonight. But I ain't scared. Is Black men protecting the community? I'd really like to know what is going on with that, really. I mean, Black men are creating total chaos, total havoc in our community on a daily basis. And it's amazing because most men of other races go out of their way to protect their families, especially their women and children. They go out of their way for that. Even if you look at the lowest animal in nature, they will still protect their families. But with our men, a lot of times, they're the very ones terrorizing us. And like I said, it all goes back to the white man. We know that. But this is something that Black men could do something about, really. We can't continue to, okay, the white man, okay, well, we know the white man did it. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to keep on following the white man? Or are we going to do something different? Black men kill each other all day for no reason, but they'll never kill anybody for a cause. It's amazing to me. We're dying every day, and it's not always at the hand of Black people. I don't know how many shows we've had on War on the Horizon in the last 4 months of Black men being murdered and lynched by white people. No retaliation or very little. And I know some people say, well, we don't know everything that's going on. You know, some things are underground. I'll tell you this, whatever's going on is not enough. It's not enough. It's not widespread. We need to do better. We're getting killed every day. It makes no sense. Somebody probably got killed today. It might not make the news. How long are we going to let these crackers do whatever they want to do to us, men and women? Because that's not even just men getting killed. It's women walking down the street getting shot in the head by some cracker. And what are we doing? Nothing. Nothing. Where's your manhood at, Black man? Where is your protection? We will never be able to respect you if we can't expect from you what anybody could expect from their man. What the lowest animal, amoeba, one-celled creature, whatever, what they can expect from their spouse, we can't expect from you? And you're the greatest man in existence? Really? Do we mean that little to you? And FOI, you too. Fam, what's going on? You know, I heard that there was a call that went out, and so now y'all going to the streets, but for real, we'll see how long that lasts, because I ain't seen y'all. Every time I go to a city, I don't see you. Where you be at? Are you afraid that by going to the hood, you're going to get your suit dirty trying to help your people? Are you serious? Where have you been? Our communities are in hell. Where have you been for the last 10 or 15 years? Where have you been? We are all suffering while you being pretty with your cute little bow tie matching. Are you kidding me? It shouldn't take a call for somebody to tell you to do what you know needs to be done. Get out in the community. You know, we were all with you. With the Million Man March came, I mean, there was some feminists who had a problem with it, I ain't gonna lie. But for the most Black women, the majority, we were all like, wow, our men are doing something. Finally, we're gonna build a nation. We're gonna be free. And nothing. Y'all ain't do nothing. I mean, now I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the masses. You gave your money that day. I don't know what happened to that. But then that was it. And since then, homosexuality is out of order. Violence is out of order. Any consciousness is gone. We were actually doing better before the Million Man March than we are now. And I know a lot of that had to do, it was well planned with, you know, devils and Jews. We kind of spooked them out with the Million Man March, and they had to put some things into effect. But we let it happen. We're the ones that let it happen. And that's messed up. It's really messed up. We need to do better. And I hope that after this call or whatever, that y'all stay on the street, because it's really disappointing. It really is. I think it was in 1973, Savior's Day maybe, where the messenger said that if y'all kept on messing up and trying to sit people down while they on post and not doing your job, he was going to have the sisters come up and guard him the next Savior's Day. Is that what needs to happen? I hope not. And then I hear people say stuff like, oh, yeah, the gang members are an army. That's you, FOI. What you mean the gangs are our army? We don't count on somebody else to do a job because we're too scared to do it. Are you kidding me? Somebody want to hear that. You go out and you get the gang members, bring them in under you and train them, discipline them, give them knowledge of self, and then they can be some good. But we don't look to the gang members as our army. That's you. And since most of y'all ain't been in the hood in 5 or 10 years, who are we fooling? You ain't reaching out to them anyway. They doing whatever they want to do. And what they want to do is not defending us. So we need to get it together. You know, it's amazing to me. You know, we killing innocent people all day long, but won't kill for a cause. It was a brother here about a year ago, I want to say, a teenager, raped a grandmother, had to be like 80 years old, broke in and raped her. That kind of foolishness. Black man, if you want to kill somebody like that. Take out the trash. Clean up our neighborhood. Do that. Or you want to sit there and kill innocent people, hardworking men. For what? And like I said, FOI, we need you there because I don't see you there at all. So we really need to get that together. You know, a lot of time, like I said, the Black man says the Black woman has an attitude. Yeah, we do. And we should. You know, I get on women for watching movies like Tyler Perry, Precious, all that kind of stuff. And I don't approve of it. I really don't. But I understand. because most women can relate to those kind of things on some level because of things that have happened to them growing up. And it's cathartic. It's an emotional relief to feel somebody else's pain or to feel that somebody else relates to the same kind of pain that you've had. You know, real life for Black women, you know, it may not be as dramatic as what's on the movies, but sometimes it is. I mean, I could probably write a book to put for color girls to shame. And I'm sure most sisters could even do better than that. You know, it's real life things that we go through, and a lot of it has to do with you. You know, finding out your man is on a down low, that happens every day. Child molestation happens every day. Getting raped happens every day. Rap music. You know, you may not be the one making the song, but how can I respect you when every song you listen to, somebody's getting called a bitch, a hoe, a slut, a tramp, a trick, a skeezer. Well, skeezer might be old school, maybe not skeezer. But regardless, how can I respect you when that's what you're listening to day after day? You're telling me that's what you think of me. And don't say, oh, it's not all Black women. Please. It has become all Black women. That's how we're being shown to the world. We're being pimped out to the world in an effort to try to please you. And it's real weak to say, you know, oh, well, I don't listen to the lyrics. It just got a good beat. United Front got a good beat. They CD's only $10. Why you ain't bumping that? Is it because they have character? And you don't want to listen to anybody that has character because you have none? You're still listening to R. Kelly? We're still having this battle? Oh, I like the music. It don't matter. He was found not guilty. But half of y'all don't watch the tape. And y'all didn't watch it once. A lot of y'all made a habit out of watching that tape. You know daggone well that was him. And after he did that to a Black woman, a young Black child, you're still going to listen to that. And that's something Black women, we do that too. And you need to cut it out. You're not worthy of respect as long as you're doing these low life things. We need to cut it out. The last thing is men complaining about women being what they call it, strong Black women, independent, whatever. But yet you'll put out songs like Miss Independent and be bumping it. Because that's what you like. That's what you like. Most Black men do not want the responsibility of having to take care of a wife and a family and having to be there and be mature. Now, granted, a lot of us Black women do not make it easy for you to be there and stick around. We kind of make you want to run. I understand that. But still, that's a responsibility of a man. And instead of running from that, you should run to that. That should give you some kind of fulfillment to know that you're doing what you should be doing, especially if you call yourself a nationalist. If you planted the seed, take care of the seed. And take care of the mother because you should have been smart enough to choose the mother wisely. Don't leave her on her own to try to take care of her child and then wonder what went wrong. To me, that's not a man. So I guess that's my only gripe. I usually don't say anything negative about Black men. I guess I've been holding some stuff back. Maybe that's why I have so much to say today. But like I said, it's really sad because Black men have the most potential. They're the most handsome, the strongest, the most intelligent, the most talented, the most masculine in many ways, man on the planet. And it's just so disappointing when you don't live up to it. We love you and we need you to do your job. And I think that that would help a lot. That would go a long way in making things better between Black men and Black women, honestly. So I think that we can go on and go to the phone lines. I really kind of want to go hide, but we'll go on and see who is on the phone and see what you have for me. All right. First caller, 8300, you're live. 8300. 8300. All right, just listen. Okay, and for those of you who don't know, the call-in number is 760-569-7676. The code is 948656 pound. That's 948656 pound. All right, next caller.
Pieces, how you doing? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me, sis?
Breaking up?
All right, let me see if I can move. Can you hear me okay now?
Are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up. I don't know if it's me or you. Can you hear me okay now?
Moment, I'm going to try back in, all right?
Okay.
Okay, brother, is that any better?
I can hear you okay now. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. What you got for me?
All right, this is Brother Sharif. I know you hear me on Genie's show a lot.
Oh, peace, Brother Sharif. How you doing?
All right. Doing pretty good, sis. Just want to say how proud I am of you, of the work you're doing. I wish it was like 10,000 more of you, but unfortunately, that's not the case. You hit on so many things, it's hard to even summarize it. But in the beginning, one thing that really stuck out with me that is the attention seeking that you were talking about with the sisters as a result of the lack of attention they get from black men. I'm going to try to connect it. I'm like a substance abuse counselor, and I work a little bit with psychology, even though I'm not a psychologist. And what you're explaining in the medical field, as you know, they're always coming up with different disorders of the mind, and they always attach them, you know, to black people a lot of times so they can dispense more medicine. But what you're explaining, this is actually kind of true. I don't know if you ever heard of this before. It's called histrionic personality disorder. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of it, but it was so long ago that if you can refresh my memory, that would be great.
Right. Well, histrionic personality disorder, I deal with it with my job sometime, and the American Psychiatric Association, which they come out with the DSM, which is like the Bible of mental disorders, is in direct line what you're talking about with the sisters. It's just a small definition. It says it's characterized by a pattern of excessive emotionality and attention seeking, including an excessive need for approval and inappropriate seductive behavior. And it's usually at the beginning of early childhood. And it says HPD, which is histrionic personality disorder, lies in a dramatic cluster of personality disorders. People with this disorder have a high need for attention, make loud and inappropriate appearances, exaggerate their behaviors and emotions, and a crave stimulation and need a high amount of attention seeking and exhibit sexual provocative behavior. That's histrionic personality disorder. So even though they come out with these strange disorders, I think that's right in line of what you were talking about of sisters trying to get attention, and they're actually terming it as a personality disorder. And one other point I wanted to make was about brothers with, you know, with the white women. I have a lot of men in my family who have went that way, and what drives me crazy other than them going that way is the phenomenon of once they do that, then they'll be with this white woman or someone else and then want to get nationalistic Have you ever seen that before?
Yes, sir. That's what I was saying.
They'll start complaining about the mistreatment of black people, and then they're sitting there laying with a white woman. And my belief is, I don't know about you, you could correct me, you know, if you're wrong or what your view is on it is. You cannot be effective in raising a black boy or addressing black people if you're with a white woman. You're totally ineffective. So I'll let you comment
completely
on the two things.
Oh, definitely. Well, first of all, thank you for your kind words. I definitely appreciate it. I always enjoy hearing you call in, so I'm really glad you called in tonight. Definitely. That's why when I was speaking about the brother bringing that Asian woman to the lynching exhibit, I'm like, what's going on? But they'll do that with a white person. There's how many Nat Turner celebrations, of course, not the one associated with War on the Horizon, but I've been to like Nat Turner celebrations, Martin Luther King, all different kinds of so-called black events, and there's always that one graham cracker that chooses to walk his dog in front of us, and it's almost like he's doing it just to be funny, just so that we have to deal with that. And I don't know what that's about, why they always feel the need to do it, but to me, a lot of times when I see black men with a white woman, they seem very effeminized. More so than back in the day. They seem very, very effeminized. And sometimes I even think that they're gay. You can get them mistaken. And I've always tried to figure out, I don't know if it's the white women effeminizing them or if they get with white women because they aren't as familiar with the culture and maybe they won't guess that these men are gay. Maybe they're just down low brothers and a sister would know, but they can fool these white women. It's one or the other. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of both. But I tend to not respect brothers at all who are involved in interracial relationships because you're no good. I mean, what good are you to the black community? You're basically leaving your own woman to take care of somebody else's woman. That means you have no interest in the black community or our future. So that pretty much makes you irrelevant in my eyes. And as far as the disorder you were talking about, I think that I have heard of that because I used to do foster care. And one of the little girls I had displayed pretty similar traits. And I don't know if they had diagnosed her with that or if it was just in a conversation. But everything that you said basically to me sounds like today's black woman. I mean, why are we so loud, hostile, aggressive? Our makeup and our hair goes beyond being something that beautifies to almost just being ridiculous. I mean, you see weave wars now where they have like a weave with a propeller on it. I mean, it's just crazy the things that we do, and it's all a cry for attention. And I just hope that at some point we can start getting some of that attention again. But like I said, black men have to pay attention to the right black women. They can't pay attention to the ones that are out there in the streets acting crazy. They have to pay attention to the ones who are a little more refined and demure, and sometimes those are the ones that are looked over because they're not out there being completely outrageous.
Right, and I really believe that, you know, it's no revelation that the hip-hop or the trap music, as I call it, in these movies is really defining our young people of what a relationship is, and most of it is dysfunctional. And if you look at all the hip-hop stars that they're putting out there, whether it's Biggie, Nicki Minaj, T.I., they always pick the most dysfunctional one to put out in front of us so our youth will emulate them. They're always dysfunctional. Biggie was talking about, you know, and 50 Cent talking about things that they've seen their mother doing and how they hated black women, even though they may have not came out and said it, but you could decode it and basically hear that that's what they were saying. So they always pick out the most dysfunctional ones, and in the movies with Taraji P. Henson, and she's pointing in the man's face and, you know, showing him up. And then I had a group of young boys saying, man, I'll slap that dude if she gets in my face like that. And they actually think that this is normal. Then you couple that with what they may have seen from their fathers, you know, growing up. It's just total madness. We're not getting a steady diet of people like you. So when they hear people like you, it's like you're abnormal and it's something wrong with you, and the craziness is normal. It's just hard to digest it all, but I'm glad that, you know, you're at least out there, and I hope we can get you know, more sisters like you out there to bring us back to some kind of normal thinking and on a functional level.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. I do the best I can. I struggle just like everybody else. I grew up, you know, with the same madness everybody else did. I try to do better because, I mean, we have to if we're going to survive. But I agree with you as far as talking about celebrities, and we don't realize that a lot of times, that these people put in front of us are so sick mentally, and then when they do certain things, it really demoralizes us in a way, because we'll look at this person like they're so great and so wonderful, and then they go astray and do something crazy, and it's just like, you know, we're hurt. Like even Halle Berry, I mean, for so long she was looked up to because she carried herself in such a decent manner, and, you know, we just loved her to death, and then she turns around and does Monsters Ball, and she's been crazy ever since. We never know when we're looking at somebody, the appearance and the, you know, Hollywood lights and all that makes it look so glamorous and so beautiful, but we don't know what's lurking under there. And usually these are some of the most degenerate, crazy people that our race has to offer. So I definitely agree with that.
Okay, sis, I'm going to let you keep the show moving, but keep doing what you're doing, and I'll be listening out for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Peace.
Peace, sis.
All right, we have a call from Skype. You are live. Call from Skype. Okay, I assume that you are just listening in. Call from Skype. All right. (3707) You are live. 3707?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Sister Farouk from California.
My sister! Assalamu alaikum!
Thanks, ma'am.
Okay, you got your bullet points ready.
I don't. I just tuned in. I'm like, I'm on the bus on the way home, but so I'm not sure. Like, I just caught the last few minutes of the conversation. I just know that in thinking about the whole topic, I think that part of it is that we as women have to raise our standards in order to force men to kind of operate at an elevated level. You know, for instance, back in the day, you know, courtship was the norm. You know, men had to court you. They had to take you out. I found that, you know, for the time that I was single a couple of years ago, that these days there's just no standards. It's like the men dictate the standard almost, and which means that there are none. You can't even get like a McDonald's meal. That used to be a joke, like, you know, a man took a woman out to have McDonald's and that was it. But you really can't get him even get a McDonald's meal these days. The expectation is that.
You trying to say White Castles is not a good date?
I mean, I just found that you don't even, there's no date required these days. It's like you meet someone and all of a sudden it's, you know, it's like automatic. Like, you know, when am I going to come to your house? When are you going to come to my house? What, you know, like there's no requirement at all these days. The standards have just been lowered. And I know that there are a lot of, you know, like independent women that feel as though, you know, they can do it the way men do. And it, you know, they don't need to have a relationship, et cetera. And I just think that number one, the mentality is not realistic. And number two, it's really just lowering the standards for women across the board. And so I think that's one of the biggest challenges. So I don't have my bullet points together yet, but that's just, you know, the one that came to me, you know, from just hearing, you know, the topic is that we need to kind of step it up and require more, which is not something that happens very often these days.
But do you think it's hard to expect a race of women to require more when they're, I mean, basically, like I was saying earlier, that it seems like we are, if we want a black man, we have to almost compete with whores. That's what we're expected to be. That's what
absolutely.
They're saying. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's like no woman is born saying, I want to be a stripper. I want to be a hoe. I want to get ran through. You know, this is my life's dream. No little girl thinks that. And a lot of that has to do with the standards that we see, what's promoted in front of us, and what men prefer. I mean, it seems almost men prefer nowadays what's easy, and they'll go for what's easy. And even I was having a conversation with Jeannie a couple weeks ago, and he was saying, what did he say? He was saying that white and black women used to be different, have different sexual standards, and that they don't anymore. And right. I was like, well, whose fault is that, though? I mean, and not to be vulgar, but no little girl grows up saying, I want to engage in anal sex. I want to engage in fellatio. That's not our dream as a child.
Right.
So where
right.
are these, yeah, where are these behaviors coming from? So I think that we definitely do need to raise our standards. But what can black men do at the same time to help us out? Because if only a third of us raise our standards and they still want to date promiscuous women, then we're going to be alone. We're not going to have anybody because they're going to go with the person they can get more happy with.
Well, here's the other side of it. Now, and I'm not putting all the responsibility on the women. You know, of course, I give the female perspective first because I'm a woman and I had to deal with the situation myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, the other thing is I just lost my thought. It's definitely a man thing as well. You have to. I think that it's a situation where you number one, you have to factor in that. Yes, they're going to take what they can get. Yes, even if you do, let's say you lower your standard, right? And you get someone. That doesn't mean that they're faithful to you. That doesn't mean that they're still not getting it from the sluts and the whores, the loose women on the side anyways, because I can tell you from experience in talking to men these days is that women don't even require that you're single. You know, mm-hmm. You know, they'll say, just give me a day. You know, they'll accommodate the be quiet when the person calls. They'll come into your house and they have no hesitation.
Right.
And so some of the challenges, you know, you have to deal in quality as far as the men. You have to understand that, yes, you may not get, you know, the one that's going to, that wants it on the first night. But the other factor is that that's their standard. Do you really want to be with someone like that? Because if they can get somebody else to give on the first night, do you really think that they're going to pass it up because they're with you?
Right.
So that's the flip side. As far as the men go, it's like, to me, it's a very complex issue because you're not just dealing with a one-sided issue. The answer is not one side or the other. With most of the things that go on in our community, what issue in our community do we have where it's like women need to do A, B, or C? Everything is always tied to both parts.
Exactly.
And so I think, you know, the factor with the men is, you know, raising up their, you know, stop falling victim to those low desires. That's one. Two is like being there for your daughter. Because a lot of times, you know, we women accept these kinds of things because they're looking for a father figure, or they didn't have a male in their life to tell them they were pretty, that they were attractive, et cetera. We have, like, so many non-present fathers these days that it's ridiculous, and it's definitely seen in the way our girls behave when it comes to getting attention from males.
You know what, and I definitely agree with that, because when I think back to my father, you know, every time we would go out, and for most of my life, we would go on a little daddy-daughter date, like, once a week, he'd take me to get ice cream or something, but he always opened doors for me. He always told me, don't bother with some dude. If he can't bother to open a door for you, he's not worthy of your time. He always told me that I was pretty. Even when I felt I wasn't pretty, he would tell me that, and I'd be like, whatever, you're my dad, you gotta think that. He would always tell me I was pretty, regardless of Jerry curls and whatever else. You know, he actually did set a standard for what I should expect, and when I went away from that standard is when I got into problems. So I definitely agree with you about the father. That's it.
So, sis, I don't want to take things too far off topic, but here's my thing, and it's something that I've been kind of thinking of a lot lately. So what are we supposed to do in lieu of this? So for those of us that are like you and I, if I had to compliment you, as far as your standards, right? Like, you know, you're an upstanding black woman, you have good morals, good standards, etc. and let's say that you're in, let's say you're in like Wyoming or somewhere where you don't have as many options, you know, what do we do? You know, we're good Black women. We're looking for a good mate. And we're in a situation where we have men who, A, they don't want to commit, they don't want to get married. When you look at statistics, marriage is way down in our community, or, you know, their claim to fame or what they want to aspire to do in life is to be a rapper or a producer or something related to that. You know, they just have issues being faithful. You know, they're falling into the stereotype of Black men. You know, what are they to do? Do you think that it's fair? Like, I know that, well, we know that statistically, Black men are more likely to date outside of their race before Black women, which, as a result, to me, is part of the reason why you have so many Black women kind of lowering their standards, because it's either, you know, if you want to be with a Black man, you know, you may be alone, or do you make the adjustment, do you step out like Black men are doing? What do you think about that?
I say 100% no to that.
Okay.
100%.
So you think that it's better to just like be alone and pray hard?
You know what? I have to say, because I always hear about, you know, there's so many more Black men than Black women. I think that's true to a certain extent, but I also know that I've never had a problem finding somebody when I really, you know, wanted somebody. And there was a period of time in my life where I just felt like I need to be alone and get some things straight, because it was just out of order. So I had to take some time alone and work on myself. But I've never felt this, just being that desperate for a Black man. They're around. And I guess sometimes what I see in a good Black man is not what everybody else sees. I'm not looking for a man with 5 degrees and a Mercedes Benz and all this other stuff, you know, been there and done that, whatever. What I was looking for was somebody who I got along with well, complimented me well, you know, shared the same philosophy, somebody who could deal with me, because I'm not an easy person to deal with.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? I'm not going to even address your craziness either. But, you know, we're not the easiest people to deal with. We know that. We're trying, but it's a struggle. So I had to find somebody that had those qualities. And some other things, you know, had to take a back seat. But I've never, ever felt like I couldn't get a Black man if I wanted to, because I knew that even with as hard as I can be to deal with, that I'm a good person, I'm doing the best I could do, and people do appreciate that when they see that in you. So,
Does that kind of undermine the stance that the reason why we lower our standards is because we want the Black man's attention? So it's like, on the one hand, we're saying we're trying to get their attention, we're trying to find someone, we're trying to find the Black man. But on the flip side, it's like, well, they're not that hard to find. You think it's a mindset then?
I think so, because you know, I say that it's never been hard for me to find a Black man. Now, they haven't all been quality, you know, so it depended on my mindset. When, you know, there was a time when my requirement for being with me was that you had to look like Tupac. You had to look like Tupac. If you could not fail that brown paper bag test, I couldn't talk to you, because I knew when I wanted children, I wanted them to have some color, and I knew that chances were kind of stacked against me if you're able to do that. So you had to be dark-skinned, thin, bald-head, have some swag, and that was it. And when I was looking for that, you know, I was miserable. I went through quite a bit, because those aren't the standards you should have, and any intelligent person would know better than that. Now, when I grew up and matured a little bit and got some standards, then the Black men I met were of a much better quality. And then I was able to get into a good relationship that flourished. But, you know, so yeah, it is a mindset. It is a mindset. But whether it was a good quality or bad quality, I never felt that desperation like, oh, I just can't get a Black man.
Got it.
Okay. I just wanted to
put that out there, because I feel like part of it is, you know, like the pool is a little bit different when you're dealing with a Muslim man as opposed to like some non-Muslim women out there who, you know, may come across some of everything. I can just say honestly, when I was, you know, single, that, you know, some of the things that I heard, some of the you know, like, attitudes were, like, ridiculous and totally, like, unfounded. I just couldn't believe some of the things that I heard from people or, you know, what they were about or what their goals were and that kind of thing. And I just know that that permeates our community, and we know that with black men, with a lot of times the lack of role models, that it's like if they want to make money, they got to be a rapper, they got to do a yada da, whatever.
Well, and even with, are you still there, sis, or did you drop off the line? Okay, she's coming home from work. I think she dropped off the line. I was going to say one thing that I've noticed too within the Nation of Islam community is that a lot of Muslim men really do not want Muslim women. They actually, you know, that's one of the people I was talking about. When they go for anything but, they'll leave the modest woman alone and go for the woman who's still in a very savage condition. And that's a problem that needs to be dealt with within the Nation of Islam as well. I'll come back to you in a moment and see if you are able to get back on, but we're going to move on for now. Okay, 1302, you are live.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yes, sir.
I understand that you're having a show. I'm going to try to mark my now. I'm going to make it my business to listen to your show moving forward. It's refreshing to hear an articulate black female speak about our conditions as opposed to listening to these Caucasian sociologists and other people on these talking head shows on television telling us what our problems are and what we should be doing. Thank you, sister. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you so much.
I know we're all experts on the problems, but I know that when we made moves to homeschool our children, one of the main complaints that we got from our adult peers and other people who felt like we were doing something radical was, well, what about their socialization?
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know, they're going to miss out on being socialized. And initially I thought, you know, I mean, how are they missing out on socialization? They, you know, they're swimmers. They go to dance class. They play soccer. They have friends that we approve of in the neighborhood that they can play with. They have all of the socialization they need. They don't need to be socializing in math class or in science class or in English class where Miss Whoever is trying to control 30 kids and have them settle down in a 40-minute class and only give 10-minute instruction. We took it upon ourselves to say, hey, homeschooling is for us, not to just bring them out in of a situation in public schools where they don't have friends. But the type of socialization I come to realize that they probably really mean when we look up the word, it's when we look up the word socialize, it's to make social or especially to fit or train for a social environment. And that's what you can see in Merriam-Webster Dictionary. So if socialization in school is to fit or train for a social environment, then this is why we have what we have out here. Even with our people, all across America, the men are being effeminized. And I know we don't care about no other racial men type except ours. But our men, as children, are raised by women who condone some of the disagreeable nonsense that our children tend to do, spoil them in the wrong way, don't teach them right racism, and put up with whatever the teacher is trying to tell them. And so when we have our children going into institutions that socialize them while they're babies, while they're children, while they're teenagers and young adults, no matter how much of our culture we teach them at home, when they get out there, they actually want to fit in. Most children, right, when they're around other children, want to fit in. And so we have adults who are walking around, who just come out of public school or private school for that matter, who are socialized through the movies, television shows, under white supremacy and racism. I don't think there's any accident that we have the conditions in our neighborhoods that we have. Their social scientists, when I say their social scientists, I'm sorry, not Caucasian social scientists, have done studies and have compared the conditions in public schools to caged rodents, saying when you study caged rodents in crowded areas, dirty environments, unlivable home conditions, these mammals will fight all of the time. And then introduce drugs to it, they'll go to the drugs quicker than they'll go to a better diet of food, or go to the drugs quicker than they'll go to the food. And so it was refreshing to see an honorable Elijah Muhammad to bring MGT classes to women and FOI training to men. And even if some of our children were raised in single-family homes and didn't have male role models, there was instruction on how to behave as men. That's something we don't have in our public institutions. And we haven't built the necessary institutions to do that for ourselves. And so if we're looking for the media to show us what we're doing good as black men or women, we're not going to see it. They're always going to focus on the negative, enhance that, and have us thinking that the only way to fit in is to emulate the images and the behaviors that they show us. And so, sister, when you do this, we have an opportunity to, you know, dialogue, share ideas, exchange information. But the question I want to ask you is, I'm not a Nation of Islam member. I'm very respectful under the leadership of Elijah Muhammad. However, how can we, how can the Nation of Islam make more public the lessons of MGT classes for women and entrepreneurship for men, and even starting with designing the suits that we wear in the Nation of Islam, as opposed to going to these Italian stores to buy the white man's stuff. What can be done in our homes to have women who are single-parent homes in a lot of cases, too many cases, raise men because they have to? Let's face it. The men that are adults were raised by women, and the children are being raised by women. And if we're being socialized by Caucasians, we're going to continue to have this problem. How can does it even make sense to make public MGT classes and FOI classes for our people in public?
I don't think every little detail, because some of it requires training to go along with
it. Organization.
Well, some of it, if you're not trained, you can easily kind of go the wrong way. But a lot of it, I would say definitely. And before I get into that, I do want to mention that at the last show I had, I believe, 2 weeks ago, was actually on homeschooling. And I think it was a really good show. I had a homeschooling mom on there, and then another sister. And actually, I put it on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and look up Most High 1979, the show is on there.
Most High 1979?
Yes, sir. So I put the show on there, and it also had a little a woman who I watched grow from a little girl from 9 years old, and she's now a pre-med student, and she was homeschooled her whole life. So that was a really good show you might want to check out. But I would say, as far as females getting trained, I recommend a book called Fascinating Womanhood by a white woman named Helen Andlin. Because it was used within the Nation of Islam to train women. It's given from a Christian point of view, and it deals, you know, it has some references to classical literature, but it the contents of it, once you get past all of that, are really good. And it's a how-to guide, basically, on how to be feminine, how to be a better wife, and that's something that helps a lot. Because even in MGT, and I would suspect some FOI classes now, the nation has been watered down, and not every city even has good classes, even for people in the Nation of Islam. After I stopped going to a mosque, I actually held classes at my house to teach women how to sew and things like that, because they weren't being taught that at the mosque. So I actually took it upon myself to teach them that, and then once they realized that I wasn't affiliated with them anymore, they stopped coming once they learned how to sell. So that was another story. But as far as, you know, I know you mentioned clothing. I have to get his phone number, and I'll try to publicize it when I do. There's an elder named Halim in Louisville who makes FOI uniforms and tailor-made suits. So I really don't understand why so many FOI go support that Jew in Chicago getting a uniform that's not even the official uniform when Brother Halim makes the actual uniform and he does a really good job of it. As far as being an entrepreneur, unfortunately, there's not a lot of that going on in the nation anymore, so I don't know who would teach somebody how to do that necessarily. But I would say that that would be a good place to start, would be the Fascinating Womanhood book. On that YouTube channel, I do have a video with some other book recommendations that are good for women. I'm really not qualified to speak for the men because I have no idea what they do in their class. They could be plotting to take over the world for all I know. But I think that that would be a really good start. Also, turning off your TV. You know, it's not a bad thing to get rid of your cable, get Netflix, watch documentaries online. You know, it is a lot better mentally when you're not constantly feeding on filth because that's all it is.
I agree. And what you're saying, it should be done. You should buy the books. You should turn off the television. But what you're really talking about is having the discipline to do any of that. Let's face it, most human beings are basically lazy and will take the easy way out and watch what's being taught to them. Mm-hmm. And we're not making our own movies. We're writing a lot of books, but we're not reading our own books. So that's why I was asking, how could we do this in a public way? But your answer is the right answer. You got to do this at home. But how do we reach a critical mass? Is a question I've been asking a long time because that's when the change takes place. When we're on the precipice of total destruction,
right.
There's a critical mass of people that says, listen, we all need to do something different. We've got to stop waiting for the special personality to come lead us. We all need to decide that the person in the mirror has the responsibility to do that at a mass level. And that's how, how does that happen?
How that happens?
Outside of having our own society, I don't know how that happens.
Yeah. I have no idea how that's going to happen besides that it's going to get...
Any of the listeners have a suggestion or an idea, I'm listening.
Yeah. The only thing that I can think of is that things are going to get so bad and white people are going to put so much pressure on us that we have no choice but to come together. But at that point, it's going to be survival, just for survival, and we're not going to be in as good of a position as we would if we would do it now. I guess another thing that I could mention is, at least for the women's part, I do have a blog called Message to the Black Fam. It's message2theblackfam.com. And that does have some things that could help women, but like I can't help men. I have no idea. But that's the only thing I can think that would bring us together would be just that it gets so bad that we have no choice. When you see white people being their true selves, when they stop pretending to be these loving, civilized creatures and really come at us like they're starting to do, maybe then we'll come together. But I just hope it's not too late by that point, you know?
I hear you loud and clear, but didn't we have that before integration? And we were doing better in business, we were doing better in our schools because we had to. And
right.
As soon as we had permission to go to the bathroom next to Caucasians or drink water next to Caucasians, it seemed like we didn't have to stick together. So they are coming at us. I think we're I'm not talking about us individuals who are listening, but us as a group of people are being beaten ahead so much, I think we're just numb as a number of people and don't realize that it's now that we need to make the decision that you're talking about.
I agree. I think
they're doing it already. We're living through it. And when we look back on history, we'll say, wow, at that time, this is when it was happening.
Oh, yeah. I think that integration is the worst thing that could have ever happened to black people. I think it set us back. I think we were better, much better during Reconstruction than we are today. I think that that's obvious. A lot of people think I'm crazy. But integration is the worst thing that could happen. So I even took it upon myself, and I think maybe more people should do it, to separate. You know,
yeah, the culture would be... integration coupled with the flooding in our neighborhoods with the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Those two things, to me, I think in our own lifetimes, we see the decimation of our people.
Oh, definitely. But we can definitely take it upon ourselves to start living more healthy lifestyles, to say no to drugs. I mean, it's very possible to do that. And like I said, to separate yourself. Our goal should not be to move to the best suburb with the most lily white neighbors that we could find.
To fit in.
You know, right.
To fit in for right. a trained or a social environment. That's right.
Right. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Did you have anything else for us today?
No, ma'am. Thank you for listening. Thank you for answering my question, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for calling in.
Yes.
Peace. Uh-oh. Brother Jeff, how you doing? Brother Jeff?
Crack in the trunk, sister. Crack in the trunk.
Crack it in the trunk. How are you?
I'm okay.
You're not going to go off on me like you went off yesterday, huh?
Nah, I don't seem like you ain't talking about no coon that race traded on, so nah, I ain't going to flick off. I'm calm today. I'm just sitting back getting taught lessons, that's all.
You got anything for us today?
Nah, I'm just letting you know, man, that I'm trying to work hard on my own relationship, and I'm just listening to you. That's all. I don't really have nothing to contribute to this conversation right here, because Brother Jeff, I'm on a hard road myself to success on this one.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And as long as you're working on it, that's all we can ask for. We're striving to do better, all of us.
All right, crack in the trunk.
Crack in the trunk. All right. 8257, you're live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sister. Just listening to the topic. It's a wonderful topic. We need to, try to figure out what we can do to try to seal that bond between black men and women again. And you are right in a lot of the aspects that you talked about as far as what we are doing as brothers, and how women are trying to prove a point to be noticed by us, in which, you know, we need to let them know that, for me personally, you know, I have a beautiful queen, and she's natural, and, you know, the whole nine. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize the beauty that they have in themselves, so right. therefore they look outward. And, you know, looking after that devil is going to, you know, be the wrong way to go in the first place, because they have no natural beauty. Everything that they have is enhanced by different products.
I agree 100%. You take all that makeup, I mean, with the makeup on, they still look a little scary, but you take it all off, boy, it's like you fed them after midnight.
That's right. It's just horrible, you know. And, you know, once again, it's nothing like a beautiful black sister on this planet. I mean, if they have it in Kemet and all over the world, then who are we to look at the beast as a form of, you know, beauty? I mean, it's nowhere, no how that this can be the case. That's pretty much it. So just once again, just listening to the show, enjoying it, and going to try to continue to build so that we can let other black men and women know that, you know, we have to be able to get past our differences and get that devil out of our mindset. Hold on 1 second, sister.
Yes, sir.
All right. Get that devil out of our mindset when it comes to, you know, agreeing that sisters are disagreeable to deal with, and that's the reason why we go outside of our race. And, you know, these are all lies. We have to realize that, you know, there's a lot of propaganda that pits us against one another. And, you know, we just got to get up off that mindset.
I agree. Well, thank you for calling in. I definitely appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
So I'm like,
well, let me slide.
And I do have to say, I'm not qualified to speak for black men, but I would imagine, you know, that it's not natural, but it's almost to be expected that they would have some kind of attraction somewhat to white women, because even as a black female child growing up, when that's all you see on TV, and that's what is told, you know, to you is beautiful, you know, we believe it, and so it's really not a surprise that Black men believe it too. But the thing is, like I said, when we grow up, then we need to reevaluate. We're not little children anymore. We're not victims anymore. We know how the media works, and we need to move beyond it. But I know growing up, I used to watch a show called Small Wonder, and it was like a little white devil girl that was a robot, and I used to want to be her so bad because she just seemed so cool. And that's what was presented to us as normalcy. And like I said, I'm not about the gender war. You know, there's men on this side, women on this side, but it's always a devil in the middle. It's always some white person creating this problem towards us. So, you know, while Black men may be attracted to white women and some Black women want to be white women, there's always a cracker pulling the strings. So we can never forget that we're in this together and we're suffering from the same things. We're all just trying to get over it. King David, you are live.
Assalamu alaikum, Queen.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. It's a good show. You've been dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. it's something that, you know, needs to be discussed, needs to be talked about. You know, I say what you just touched on with the previous caller was, you know, integration. Black men, you know, we want white women. That's our biggest problem. You know, we're still searching for that brass ring. And like I said to a lot of brothers, the brass ring is one of these white whores. You know, that's the brass ring. Which you touched on earlier, I explained to these brothers all the time, particularly ones who were chasing after these white women. You know, when we were hung from trees, she was right there urging her wicked white man on to hang us from the trees. When they cut off the Black man's genitals and stuffed them in his mouth and they put them in jars and took them home, when they cut the vagina off the woman after they hung her from the tree and put her vagina in a jar and took it home, you know, she urged them on to do these things. When they practiced cannibalism on us, when they burned us at the stake, she was right there urging them on. And you take this information and present it to these brothers, and they're not hearing it. Oh, brother, that was then. No, brother, this is now. You know, they haven't stopped doing these things. It's more on a psychological level, you know. I hate to use this term, but on a metaphysical level, but it's still going on today. And it's hard to counteract these things. You know, it's in the music, it's in TV, it's in the movies, so it's hard to counteract these things. You know, no matter how much knowledge you bring to these brothers, you know, it's hard to, you know, to break this. I have one brother that I work with, and he's just full of so much self-hatred. And this brother was raised by Black women, which is makes this whole situation puzzling, is that he doesn't even call the sisters. He doesn't call them Black women. He calls them victims. That sister right there, that's my – that Black woman right there, that's my next victim. You know, it's just – it's mind-boggling, you know, hearing these things coming from, you know, Black men, particularly Black men who were raised by Black women. You know, I've talked to this brother, asked him, you know, what he went through, what brought this to him, how this came to him to have call a Black woman a victim. You know, and it's just, whew, you know, coming from where I came from and, you know, the time, you know, from the early 80s to the 90s, and, you know, we, you know, had respect. We respected our women, you know. You know, we were strong Muslims. And it's, like I said, it's just mind-boggling how far, even from the 80s and 90s, where we were to how far we've fallen. You know, it's just, like I said, it's just mind-boggling, you know. And these brothers, you know, a lot of them know better. You know, a lot of these brothers have knowledge. Like I was sharing with Irritated Genie, this one brother, he tell me all these things he's doing in the Black community and, you know, race first and all this good stuff. I'm like, okay, so, you know, I go check this brother out. So, he's had a little shelter. You know, he's feeding the hungry. So I go and put on my apron, and I'm passing the soup out, and here comes a white woman. She comes from the back. Now, it's his brother's wife. I called the brother, said, brother, you know, who is this white woman here? Oh, brother, that's my wife. So I'm like, okay, you're talking all this race first, all this Black stuff, and you got a white bitch. So this is, you know, what we have to deal with, you know, and it's hard, you know, sisters are witnessing all this, you know. So I, you know, I feel the sister's pain. I can't say I feel the pain, but I understand where black women are coming from. I understand where you're coming from on this.
Did you see, I believe you did, you see that brother at the Great Blackfin Wax Museum coming with that Asian chick?
Yeah, and that was disgusting. That just disgusted me. You know, I just didn't understand that. You know, why would he bring her there? You know, what was her purpose for being there? She can't connect with anything on any level what we've gone through as a people, you know.
Did you see the expression on her face as she was looking at the exhibit towel, which was just like this blank look, like, you know, she could have been like watching The Price is Right or like looking at a Fendi bag. I mean, it was like no emotional connection at all. Did you notice that, or you wasn't really paying attention?
Well, I noticed that, you know, she, you know, they can't connect, you know, she could connect with that. She has been robbed of the knowledge of God, self, and others, you know, so she can't connect with that. You know, we've been robbed of everything by this beast. And for her to see this, you know, she can't connect with us on any level. You know, she just can't connect. You know, she couldn't connect with it.
But it's amazing because black people can connect with everybody else's pain. We look at the Holocaust and we cry. We look at, you know, the tsunami and we cry. We look at all these other so-called tragedies that happen and we cry. But we look at our own problem. We look at Hurricane Katrina and, you know, we're talking about them looting stores instead of trying to survive. You know, it's like, we can see everybody else's pain, but sometimes when we look at our own pain, it's skewed. Or because we can feel everybody else's pain, we think everybody else can feel ours. We don't realize nobody else cares. If we don't stick together, who is going to stick together with us if we don't have each other?
That's right. But, you know, it comes from, you know, no knowledge of self, you know. Black people, as Dr. Connor would say, you know, we sympathize, you know, we sympathize too much with everybody else. You know, nobody sympathizes with us. You know, we're too concerned with everybody else and everything else except our own people. You know, we're just not concerned. We you know, this is what has been instilled and ingrained in us over 400 years of slavery, suffering, and death. You know, we can't connect with ourselves. You know, that's just simple self-hatred and no knowledge of self.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. The show's starting to wind down, and we have, I think, two more callers we're going to get to so that Brother DJ can start his show right on time. He will be following me at 9 o'clock tonight. So was there anything else that you wanted to say?
No, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sir. All right. My sister Fahima, or do I got you back?
You got me back.
Okay. So what
I know
do you
I have someone. Go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead. Okay. So, what do I have to say? I want to make sure that you stay on task and on time. I really just wanted to say that I appreciate the dialogue. I think this is a great topic. I think that you got a fan. So I'll be calling in next week. I enjoyed hearing everyone's perspective. And I thank you for opening up a forum like this. It's pretty good. I like it a lot.
Thank you so much. And the show, at least for now, since I'm just getting my feet wet, is every other week. In 2 weeks, on the 31st, I believe, we'll be having a show. And it's going to be talking about healthy cooking, being able to cook healthy meals for your family, being able to know different culinary herbs to use, and just how to make healthy food tastes good. So that will be the next show, and I appreciate you calling in. You know I am your fan as well. You are the only Muslim woman I know who is as crazy as me, and I love you to pieces. So I will be talking to you soon so we can plan our next paper.
That sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. Salaam alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
All right, 7266, you're live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sis, I just wanted to thank you for this show, and I just want to say briefly, we were talking about the challenges with, you know, trying to find a good black man, and like you, I don't like to say anything against the brothers, but I will say this, it's been my experience that it's better to be alone and wait than to go along with a brother who you're not like-minded. You know, you just don't really share the same basic philosophies, because what happens is when you it's been my experience when you go along with a brother who is not quite there. And when I say quite there, I mean who loves the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm just putting it out there.
Right.
If they're not that and you go along with it, a lot of times it's really detrimental to you. That's just been my experience. So even though it's hard for us to wait because we want companionship, in my experience, it's better to just sometimes just wait until that person comes along. So, assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for your call. Okay, I think we may have one more call. I will try to get in quickly. One moment here. All right, 7486. Hotep. Seven four eight six, you there?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I actually just tuned in. And I missed everything, so I wouldn't be able to probably comment on the subject.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Well, thank you for calling in. We'll be ending the show in just a moment. But if you stay on the line, Brother DJ and Brother Kimmett have a great show coming up. So you may have missed this one, but you still have something worth listening to in just a few minutes. All right?
I appreciate it. I'll try to do better next week.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much.
No problem. Peace.
Peace. All right. Well, I didn't get beat up. That's a good thing. I thank everybody for taking this show in the spirit it was given. Like I said, I think that there's enough negative things said about Black men, really. And we, like I said, we all know that you are the greatest. We love you with all of our hearts, all of our soul, and we just want Black men to put themselves in a position where we can respect them, where we can look to them again. You know, in the past, it was easy to look up to and respect Black men because even though they may have had flaws or faults, they were still there. They were still protectors. They were still providers. And it was something that we could really, really appreciate. And we just need you back there. That's all. I think that is most Black women's only complaint. We just need you to do your job. You know, we can do a lot of things. We're very capable. Yeah, we're independent. Yeah, we can go to the devil and get a job and, you know, buy our own car and our own house and have a great life. But we need you. We need you. There are things that only you can do. There are things that women look to men for. And we just need you to do that. We need you to step your game up and just be the best that you can be. You know, deal with us in the best of manners. Be patient with us while we try to improve, because Lord knows we have a lot of things to improve as well. And just hang in there with us, definitely. So I'm going to go on and close out. If you give us a few minutes to switch over, like I said, Brother DJ has a show coming up, Brother DJ, Brother Kimmett. It will be definitely a good show to watch. They always have a good subject matter. So that is it. We will see you next week, and stay on your post.
Dun 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 d